mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 22. They know, they all know now. Grimly, Zuko looked up, braced for the hatred Jinhai's parents would rightly feel. Except, he didn't see it. Just concern and a bit of motherly worry on Mei Xiang's face. Katara blew your cover when she woke up. Shirong shrugged, carefully casual. I think we're mostly over the shock. Over it? Zuko thought in disbelief. You all know who I am, and you still... How can you say that? Katara blazed. Don't you know what the Fire Nation has done to the Earth Kingdom? To the whole world? Would you stop worrying about the world for a minute? Zuko said, exasperated. We need to concentrate on right here, right now. Is that how you live with yourself? How you live with lying to these people? Katara waved an angry hand at the Wens. Just tell yourself the past doesn't matter. I'll just be someone else for a while. Well, you're not. You're a monster, and nothing you do will ever change that. Says the thief, Zuko snarled back. Says the ignorant peasant girl who would have left me to die in a North Pole blizzard. After you kidnapped Aang, I had my orders. Zuko made himself breathe, made himself not close his fists. The fire was crackling inside him, begging to be set free. And he couldn't. He couldn't. I've never tried to kill you. Breathe. Breathe, damn it. Just stop. Stop. Give me a minute and listen. You're angry at me because I want to capture Aang? Fine. Azula wants to kill him. Would you consider that maybe, just maybe, neither of us wants that to happen? It's not going to happen, Katara said levelly. I'm going to stop you. It didn't make sense. He knew what he'd said. What was she hearing? Shirong cleared his throat. What I think the prince is trying to say, the agent said blandly, regarding the waterbender with narrowed green eyes, is that we're all trying not to get killed by Azula, and it might be easier if we all tried that together. He told you Azula's trying to kill him? Katara said in disbelief. Low, Zuko. That's low, even for you. How can you say that about your sister? She might have said more. Zuko couldn't hear it. She doesn't believe me. No one believes me. Why won't anyone believe me? Fist clenched, he drove the fire and fury into stone. Oh dear, Iroh murmured, rounding the corner onto crackling flame and shattering crystals. Harsher words sprang to mind. He kept them off his lips with a determined effort. Unleashing some of Zhang Zhang's favorite army curses wouldn't solve anything. But it would make me feel better, Iroh admitted to himself, watching Zuko drive one more fiery punch into the cavern wall before the young man stopped, shaking. The Wens and Shirong were between the children and any flying fragments. Katara had water wrapped around her fingers and an angry look on her face. And his nephew was not looking at the Water Tribe girl. Deliberately. Regarding Katara with a wary eye, Iroh moved into Zuko's field of vision and wrapped his nephew in a hug. I'm sorry, a bare whisper in his ear, almost a hiccup of pain. She won't listen. Katara had done far more than that somehow. I should not have stayed so long at the tea shop, Iroh thought unhappily. He'd thought it worth the risk to try to send warnings to the generals of the Council of Five and listen for word on what Azula might have set in motion. and more than worth it for what he had learned from the White Lotus of the spirit snare his nephew was in. But nothing was worth this. Diplomacy is not one of your better skills, Iroh said clearly. I will explain matters. He let go and swung the pack he'd carried off his shoulder. It is late, and we are all tired. Perhaps some dinner and rest would do us good. Not hungry. That I doubt, Iroh thought dryly. Then you will not mind helping the children with theirs, yes? Come, let us separate the dishes. He bent to help his nephew, but kept a steely gaze on Katara. Not one word, little waterbender. Not one, or I will deal with you. Whatever she saw in his face made her blanch and step back. Good. Suyin took a gulp of breath and stepped forward to lend a hand. So, do we have rice or noodles? Noodles, Zuko muttered, shoulders slumped. Well, come on, Jinai hates it when noodles get cold. Mei Xiang nodded encouragement and smiled at her youngest son before gently shoving him off Jia's way. Squeezing her husband's hand as the children took their share of dinner into the next chamber, a subtle gesture Iroh recognized from his own marriage. It'll be all right, love. Trust me. Zuko, Tingja said lovingly, before the young man could follow. Remember, I heard you out before I made my decision. I had to hear her out as well. He gave Katara a measured look. I think your uncle and I will have quite a bit to say to the young lady. Iroh hid a smile. Perhaps the situation is not as grave as I feared. Though grave enough, from the way Tingja carefully raised stone to block the tunnel after them. Thick enough that the adults would be able to speak in private, even if Zuko cupped an ear to the wall. You're letting your kids go off with him? Katara said in disbelief. You saw what he just did. Young lady, Tingja said dryly. I've seen a great many teenage benders lose their temper. I trust him far more than I trust you. There was a subtle twist of venom under the cool tone that made Iroh raise a startled brow, and eye the waterbender even more warily. Precisely what did you say to my nephew, Miss Katara? Before or after, she called him a monster. Shirong was watching Katara like a hawk eagle. Did you leave him to die at the North Pole? Aang would never let that happen. Katara glared at the Dai Li agent, obviously tempted to slap him with a water whip. So you would have. Shirong shook his head, grim. And you're the one teaching the Avatar waterbending? We're doomed. A monster, Iroh said very quietly, conscious of a growing rage he had not felt in a very long time. One of my men was ambushed, where he expected no enemy. Calm. Stay calm. Well, first she accused him of lying about Azula being in the palace, Shirong said, matter of fact. Then she called him a failure who couldn't even beat Kyoshi warriors. Then lying again about Azula lightning bending. Then accused him of using her to set a trap for Aang. Then, well, I'd rather not go into what she said about your brother, General, and Zuko being his father's son. Have I missed anything, Madam Wen? Not yet, Mei Xiang said, coolly furious. I see, Iroh said, still quiet. She is Water Tribe, but I had thought the Avatar would have. Stay calm. But he didn't crack until she called him a liar for saying Azula wanted to kill him. Shirong finished. Does Fire Lord Ozai know Princess Azula tried to kill the Crown Prince? Insofar as I can determine, my brother has encouraged it, Iroh stated, never taking his gaze off the waterbender. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see Mei Sheng raise a hand to cover her horror and rage, and Tingcha draw her close for comfort. But Katara? Katara stared back at him, unrepentant, defiant, as if she were facing a true enemy. Oh, come on! Even if she weren't his sister, and she is, that doesn't make sense. Why would the Fire Lord let anyone kill his precious son? Because if Azula does so, she will have proven she is precisely the heir Fire Lord Ozai wishes, Iroh said in a voice like iron. Cunning, strong, and ruthless, and loyal only to him. My brother despises Zuko for his kindness, his wish to see the Fire Nation whole and at peace instead of eternally at war. But his rule of our people is not absolute, no matter what he wishes the rest of the world to believe. If he were seen to raise his hand directly against Zuko, after failing to slay him in combat, all the great names would fear for their own heirs, and Ozai's power would be damaged. Yet, if he allows Zuko to live, the Fire Lords are not fools. They would not choose Azula as the next Fire Lord, no matter what Ozai's will might state. Not if they had another choice. But if Zuko should die facing the Avatar, as so many of the Fire Nation have died... He shook his head. Who would question who truly dealt the blow? The Avatar, after all, is also a firebender. He'd do that to Aang? Wide-eyed, Katara swallowed. I don't care what Toph says. You're all monsters. Tingcha tensed. Now, see here, young lady. Iroh held up a warning hand. Professor, what we have here is a failure to understand one another's cultures. A failure, Tingcha said, incredulous. She just called your entire nation monstrous. And while I might say that about some of your army... By the standards of the Water Tribes, Iroh stated, we are. Tingcha eyed him, considering that. Shurong blinked, surprised, and settled back onto his bench to listen. Mei Sheng paled. Amaya never said. Amaya's got something wrong with her, Katara snapped. Training a Fire Nation apprentice? What is she thinking? Who knows why he really helped Toph? It sure wasn't for Aang. Be quiet. Just a touch of fire's rage, the merest hint of smoke. Any more, and, well, Iroh was certain he would regret it. Later. Amaya has learned something every Avatar was meant to learn. Something it seems Aang has not learned, nor have you. The Four Nations are different, not only in their bending, but in their culture. And most important of all, in how they define right, wrong, and responsibility.
Right and wrong don't change,
Katara flung at him. It doesn't matter who you are. Ah, but who is assigned the blame for a wrong does change, Iroh said plainly. And that is why you call us all monsters.
Because you are!
No, Iroh said firmly. Very few of us are. Zhao, yes. My brother, Azula. But Zuko? No. My nephew has not and has never been a monster. Yet, to you who are Water Tribe, that does not matter. In the tribe, it is the community which bears the guilt or credit for an individual's actions. When Chief Hakoda sinks a Fire Nation ship, you have all won a victory. When one of your warriors falls to a firebending soldier, you all feel shamed. And the tribe is your source of right and wrong. Right is what benefits the tribe, and wrong is what harms it. So harm done to others, who stand outside the tribe, does not truly matter. Which is why the northern tribe saw the ocean strike and cheered a great victory, and never, ever felt compassion for those struck down.
Oh, Shurong said softly. Spirits, no wonder he was worried it could happen again. If the Haima Zhao had... Oh, damn.
He eyed Katara with a look of wary dread,
as if calculating exactly how far he could get from her before he'd have to start tunneling through the walls. "How can you say that?" Katara gasped. "I'm not evil, not like the Fire Nation."
Says the young lady we have followed across the world, as she lied, cheated, and stole from those she passed, Iroh said dryly.
The pirates stole the waterbending scroll, and you know it.
Katara planted fists on her hips.
Aang needed it. My nephew needs his honor, Iroh observed, looking at her in askance. Yet you do not seem to consider that reason enough for him.
He sighed. But then, you would not. You consider Aang one of your tribe, even if he is an airbender. And my nephew is not one of your tribe, and so an enemy.
You say that like you don't think he's done anything wrong,
Katara fumed.
No!
Iroh slashed a hand across, trailing only a hint of heat shimmer in its wake.
Never have I said that. But you would hold my nephew guilty of Ozai's crimes, and Azulon's, and Sozin's. You would hold him guilty of the decimation of your people and the extinction of the air nomads, and that he did not do.
Katara stared at him, still angry, but also confused. If wide blue eyes spoke truly.
But he's the Fire Lord's son.
And I am the Fire Lord's brother, Iroh said lovingly. And in the Fire Nation, and yes, the Earth Kingdom as well, no young man is held guilty of what his father has done.
He spread empty hands.
I know it is foreign to you, but grant us this grace, for Zuko truly did mean you well, no matter how little he explained. Grant us the honor of trying to understand.
You think I don't understand? Angry tears filled her eyes. Do you know what this war has put me through? Me, personally? The Fire Nation took my mother from me.
A harsh loss for any child, Iroh knew. But she was the Avatar's teacher. She had to be able to look beyond her own needs, or the world was doomed.
And so has my nephew lost his mother to Ozai's schemes, Iroh replied. So did I lose my son in the siege of Ba Sing Se. You are not alone in your grief. A century of war has harmed us all.
And you think the only one who's guilty is the Fire Lord?
Katara shook her head, tears still streaming.
How can you live like that? How does anybody stop a murderer if he knows his family's not going to pay for it?
She gave him a venomous look.
Oh, that's right. You haven't.
No, I have not, Iroh acknowledged. I do not believe I could defeat Ozai. Not alone. And if I did, our people would only see a brother slaying a brother for power, and the war would go on. For true justice to be done, the Fire Lord must be defeated by someone else.
Justice?
Katara was swiped at her tears and straightened, looking at him.
How can you talk about justice when the war needs to stop?
So, mentioned defeating the Fire Lord and she listens, Iroh thought wryly. Because without justice, the war will not stop, even if the Fire Lord is dead.
Katara drew a breath, scowling.
He's right, you know, Tinkcha said plainly. That's what history tells us happened, when Avatar Kyoshi faced Chin the Conqueror.
Really? Shirong put in, sounding only normally interested if you didn't catch the sharpness in green eyes.
I've never known as much about that part of history as I'd have liked to have. No. I'd imagine it wasn't a time Long Feng encouraged his men to learn about. Not since he took power.
Tinkcha clasped his hands behind him, a professor calculating how best to fit what he knew to his audience.
Avatar Aang implied that you knew of Chin the Conqueror?
Aang got put on trial for Chin's murder, Katara said heatedly. Avatar Kyoshi appeared and told us about it, but it was self-defense.
Tinkcha nodded. But did she tell you that severing Kyoshi Island from the mainland and Chin's death were not enough to stop the war? Katara looked aside. She didn't have much time. Then I'll try to be brief as well.
Mei Xiang smothered a laugh.
Yes, I can be brief from time to time, the professor said dryly, giving his wife a sidelong look. It's not as though she's paying for the lecture. Where was I?
Justice, Iroh stated, hiding his own chuckle. How many generations of students had Tingcha fooled with that absent air? And Chin the Conqueror.
Ah, yes, justice. Tingcha nodded once. In the Earth Kingdom, and from what I know of the Fire Nation as well, justice is done not by the decisions of the tribe, but by having a system of laws and guards to enforce those laws. Now, the laws themselves are not always fair, given that they are made by rulers like the Earth King or the Fire Lord. Iroh inclined his head, admitting the point. But in some respects, they are more fair, for they are not decided by the chieftain of the Water Tribe and his most powerful followers, gathering to state what they will do this time. They are laws, and everyone knows them, and the consequences of breaking them. Tingcha raised a finger, stabbing the air. As Chin's soldiers broke laws to follow him. Yet they could, and did, argue that the laws they broke were unfair, that events and striving to give their families a better life had left them no choice.
So what did Kyoshi do? Katara asked warily. If the laws are supposed to be the same for everyone, they had to be punished.
From what I've studied, that is one of the reasons we have an avatar, Tingcha said plainly. As they do not truly belong to any one nation, so they are not bound by its laws. And it's a very unwise sovereign who crosses them without good cause.
Unfortunately, Sozin thought he had one, Iroh sighed. I am curious as well. What did she do?
From my studies, one of the first things she did was seize all Qin's records, Tingcha said plainly. After all, if Chin himself had reason to think a soldier had acted brutally and just hadn't gotten around to doing something about it, he shrugged. The Avatar did many things, but one key thing she did, which Avatar Aang should think about, was try to uncover why the war happened in the first place. Who thought they had been wronged and who believed they had something to gain. And that was one of the reasons she created the Dai Li.
Katara's jaw dropped. Avatar Kyoshi?
If it wouldn't have completely shattered Tingcha's spell of words, Iroh would have hugged the man. Trust an earthbender to wait and listen until he found the one weak spot that would take a fortress down. Not that Iroh believed the teachings of Katara's childhood had been defeated so easily, but she was at least listening.
You see, one of the reasons Chin got as far as he did was, to be blunt, the 46th Earth King himself, Tingcha went on. The man was a tyrant, and a bit of a brute besides.
Hey,
Shirong objected. Divine right or no, that's what the records indicate, Tingcha said practically. We can only hope Kuei never takes after him. Where was I? Ah, yes, the Dai Li. He nodded. I must admit, most of what I know about the Water Tribe is from books, or speaking with Amaya, or a few of the other waterbenders who used to work with the fishing fleets. But I have the impression that most items you make and use do not last a full century.
So, what's wrong with that? Katara shrugged. We make what we need. It doesn't have to last forever.
My dear young lady, there is nothing wrong with that, Tingcha replied. But it means your tribes do not encounter one of the hazards more settled people often face. The chief of those being 99-year spirits.
99 what? Katara echoed doubtfully.
When something is used by people for a long time, it can develop a life of its own. Mei Xiang explained. Sometimes they're just playful and quiet. They move when no one's watching, or make noises no one can explain. But sometimes, they can try to kill people. Among his other offenses, the Earth King had encouraged the preservation of ancient artifacts without making sure there were enough ceremonies being held to placate hostile spirits. Tink just stated. The peasants revolted and destroyed many artifacts that represented the old government. By the time Kyoshi was called in, well, eventually there was a compromise. The Earth King agreed to allow peasants more of a voice, and Avatar Kyoshi trained a group of elite earthbenders to protect the cultural heritage of Ba Sing Se, which meant, in large part, protecting Ba Sing Se's citizens from spirits created by that heritage. I've always preferred that part of the job, Shirong said wistfully. It may be dirty and exhausting and dangerous as walking straight into the lake serpent's jaws, but it's for our people. He sighed. What went wrong, Professor? We only wanted to protect our city. This is just a guess on my part. I would say it was the assassination of the royal family 20 years ago, Tincture replied. You likely weren't an agent then.
No recruit, Shirong said simply. I'd only been in a few months. I still have the scars.
He frowned.
Though they haven't been bothering me as much lately.
Whether we like it or not, the royal family is the center of spiritual power, Tingcha informed Katara. When all but Kue were assassinated, well, one four-year-old boy wasn't enough to hold the balance. Things broke loose. The moon went dark, spirits were roused, chaos and destruction swept the streets. Personally, I am alive today because I am a strong earthbender. To fight off spirits, you either must be a strong bender or have a will so determined it verges on legend. Ba Sing Se stands today because Long Feng rescued Kue, rallied the remnants of the Dai Li, and beat back the darkness by main force. Silence. Iroh dared to breathe.
Spirits, just let her think.
You see? They're evil! Katara flung her hands up. Assassinating people, unleashing spirits, they never change!
What on earth makes you think the assassins were Fire Nation?
Because that's what they do! That's...
Katara ground to a halt, looking at the three city dwellers.
It wasn't them?
The assassins were Earth Kingdom, Shirong said plainly. From Taku. The council retaliated by cutting off military aid. Now they're gone, and the Fire Nation has Pohai's stronghold to anchor that part of their conquest. He smirked.
Your Aang's just lucky Prince Zuko managed to get him out of there in one piece. Admiral Zhao was no pushover, from the reports. And frankly, the Yu Yan archers scare half our army to death. That raid must have taken guts.
Nice try, Katara said at last. But I've never heard of this stronghold, and Zuko's never rescued anybody. Aang would have told us if there was good in somebody like him.
Apparently not,
Iroh murmured. He held up a hand before she could protest.
I do not ask that you believe us.
Since you apparently will not,
I only ask that when you can... You ask Avatar Aang what truly happened with Zhao and the frozen frogs.
I will ask him, Katara said fiercely. But I don't think you'll like what Aang tells me.
If he speaks the truth, it will be more than enough,
Iroh said levelly. And if he does not... Perhaps it was only a child's confusion at being aided by an enemy. He hoped so. It had been almost 2,000 years since the White Lotus had been called on to take drastic measures to deal with an avatar. By all the spirits, he did not wish that responsibility to fall on his shoulders. Not with Sozin's legacy looming over him.
not with the boy truly the last of his kind. Even if his feeling was right, and the spirits truly had scattered the airbending gift in the folk of other nations to preserve the balance, Aang was the last trained airbender. Rebuilding the forms without him would take centuries.
Agni, let there be another option.
But if the world was not so kind, he had joined his nephew's quest for more than one reason.
Agni, be merciful. I would not enjoy the irony of carrying out my brother's wishes.
Still, he had always known the will of the spirits could be merciless when mere humans upset the balance. He tried to shield Zuko from the worst of that cold rage, even as he had trained Zuko to seek the honor found in a balanced world. Though he'd never expected to help train two elements, which was far more unsettling than he ever wished Zuko would have to know. Not because his nephew was a waterbender, but because of what that second element implied.
Yue said the spirits themselves are uncertain what should happen, but it would seem the moon, and Agni as well, is willing to consider some very old options.
Options he would never have known of had he not asked his contacts to consult the records of the White Lotus. Very few people kept even fragments of stories of the time before there had been an Avatar. Iroh sighed and shut dark thoughts away.
It is late, and we have had a busy day, he said kindly. It would be best if we remained here, where Azula is unlikely to find us. Tomorrow I can send you to people who can help you reach Aang. Will that suffice?
Just keep your nephew away from me, Katara said shortly. Iroh smiled wryly.
I doubt that will be a problem.
Dinner? Zuko felt the eyes on him as the other children ate and tried not to shrink into a corner.
I'm sorry, he said, voice low. I have a really bad temper. I know that's not an excuse. I didn't mean to scare you. I just... He looked down, ashamed. My father, Azula, they're always in control. Always. Me, I lose it. Mom had to get after me all the time. He swallowed hard.
It's not right, what I did. But Mom taught me if I couldn't hang on anymore, hit something that wasn't alive, break something, instead of hurt somebody. He made himself eat, even if it tasted like ashes. Who knew when things would get back to normal? If they ever would.
So what's normal? A dark part of him snorted. Running for your life sure seems to be. Having some place to go, where people even want you a little? That's not normal. You know better.
He did. That was the awful part. For weeks he'd been able to rest. To think that maybe the past didn't matter and he could make something better of his life.
Right. Like the Fire Lord would ever let you be that lucky. Like the spirits would.
Focus. Eat. Survive. And try not to feel as dreams crumbled.
So this is just you?
Suyin asked carefully.
Mom said so, but Jinhai won't...
What? No! Zuko exclaimed, startled away from gloom. No, this is just my problem. Uncle says it runs in the family, but you know he's kind. No. Jinhai, if you want to know what to be, watch your father. He's a good man. You pay attention, you listen to him, you'll be a better person than I am. He's your father. I'm just your teacher. And the way things are going, pretty soon I won't even be that. It's not fair.
But your father is a really bad guy,
Jinhai whispered, staring at his empty bowl.
I know that now,
Zuko rinsed his own bowl and set it aside. I guess I've known that for a long time. Without the Wens, without the people he'd met with Amaya, he wasn't sure he'd have found the courage to admit it. How could he say what was wrong with his family when he'd never seen anything right? Just going on a feeling, a sickening dread that the way his father and sister and himself interacted was just not right. He'd been trained to deal with facts, not feelings. Mercy, pity, those were for the weak. But Uncle's not weak. He faced Azula. He got us here. He kept me alive. What my father's doing is wrong, Zuko admitted, interlacing his fingers so his hands gripped each other. He wouldn't raise angry flame that way. Maybe a little smoke, but no fire. But he's the Fire Lord. I can't stop him. I can't disobey my orders, even if I want to. All I can do is try to be like Mom and Uncle, help people, not hurt them. Only Mom killed a Fire Lord. Except he didn't know that, not for sure. And Azulon wasn't her father.
Except when you're punching little witches. Gia smirked and gave an arch glance before he could sputter. Oh, don't look like that. She deserved it.
But you don't even know, Zuko started.
I know enough.
Gia tossed her head, upper class haughty, with just a touch of wicked humor.
I've seen her before, with a dozen different faces. The Queen Flutter Hornet, pretty as a picture, and vicious as a scorpion viper when she doesn't get what she wants. Only most people don't see it, because she almost always does. Sometimes by working for it. A lot of girls like that do work hard. But most of the time, because she's Daddy's little girl, and Daddy's someone very important.
Gia snorted. She's not really a peasant, is she? I don't know, Zuko admitted. It's not like we ever sat down and traded family trees. He had to smirk just a little at the thought. I'd be throwing fire at her, she'd be throwing ice at me. She buried me under a whole pillar of it once. That hurt.
See, sounds fair, Gia nodded.
Though that was after I knocked her out, Zuko shrugged. Which was after she froze me in ice, Zuko went on, trying not to grin at Gia's increasingly dubious look. It was funny, kind of. Which was after, well, a lot of stuff. The two sisters traded glances.
How many times have you two been fighting?
Suyin asked. Lost count, Zuko shrugged. We chased her and her friends from the South Pole all the way north. That took a few months. It was a lot. Another pair of glances. Gia shook her head and stood, took a stance, and casually swept down the wall in between them and the adults.
Mom!
Gia? Mei Xiang stepped into the opening, one brow raised.
Remember that talk you gave us about what kind of boys to drag home?
Gia jerked her thumb over her shoulder.
He's the guy you warned us about.
I didn't do anything, Zuko protested, trying not to look past Mei Xiang to Katara, who hated him anyway, so it wasn't like it mattered. But he hadn't. No, of course you didn't. Mei Xiang smiled, bittersweet. Sweet, deadly, and broken. Your uncle's going to have to beat them off with a stick. Which made absolutely no sense. Though Uncle looked amused, never a good sign. And Tingcha looked mildly horrified, which was even worse. No help there, Zuko judged, and eyed Xirong. What the heck are they talking about? You don't know? Xirong-eyed Iroh in turn. At sea since he was 13. With very little time allowed in port, Uncle admitted. So, clueless, Sharon concluded. I very much fear he is, yes.
He is standing right here, Uncle, Zuko said warily, and he would like an explanation.
Of course, nephew. Iroh folded his hands in his sleeves with suspicious serenity. Now let me see. I'm sure I have a proverb for this.
Never mind, Zuko winced. I don't want to know.
Shurong's cough sounded suspiciously like,
clueless!
Nasty cough, Zuko said wryly, waved a hand towards a lamp tucked into a niche against the wall, a hint of gold to liven the green glow from the wall crystals. Get over here so I can check you.
I already...
Katara looked at him and glanced at a no longer smiling Iroh and shut her mouth.
Not like you know what you're doing anyway.
Ignore idiot waterbender, Zuko told himself firmly, already shaping the small flame. Standing so Katara couldn't get a good look at his eyes. With luck, the background green light had kept her from realizing there was anything different about him or Uncle. He'd fought her enough to know she was cow-pig-headed stubborn, not stupid. See green where she knew it should be gold, and she'd start asking questions. So far, she didn't know he and Lee were the same person, and he wanted to keep it that way as long as he could. You never knew when you might need another tile up your sleeve.
But that's not the real reason, is it? Zuko admitted to himself.
I want something she hasn't spit on. Something that's mine. Something I did right. It's okay, he said under his breath as Sharon braced himself. I've done this before. You were just a little out of it. The firebender smiled wryly. This is just checking, not trying to patch you back together before you bleed to death. It won't hurt.
So you say.
Sharon leaned back against the comforting stone, eyeing gold and green and violet with a speculative look.
I've seen those colors before.
Oh, he laughed, apparently surprising even himself.
Oh, that was inspired. No one would ever...
He glanced at Iroh.
Your idea?
My nephew's. It has served us well. Zuko made himself ignore the banter, the way he was ignoring angry blue eyes boring into the back of his neck. Only the fire mattered. The fire and the wounded chi it was mending.
Move slowly, Amaya's voice murmured in memory. Quick healing is good. It's what you need on the battlefield or with accidents that can kill in heartbeats. But once the worst is mended, slow. Go slow and wait and listen. Don't force wounds to heal. Let your patient's body and spirit tell you what they need.
Zuko held healing fire against scarred skin and waited, eyes closed. There was the fire in his hands, and there the resistance of healing wounds, like dull copper knots. And there, that's it. That's what Sharon was talking about. He had to be careful. Wisps of fire touching gentle as a breath, or everything blurred into one flow of energies. But when he held still and waited, fine threads of chi led outwards from Sharon's skin, subtle as a spider web on a dewy morning, thicker, somehow more practiced about hands and feet. The threads sank into earth and stone, rooting the Dai Li agent like a young sapling, drawing strength from earth, but frail enough that uncaring hands could tear it away. And it had been torn. Large swaths of that web trembled in the shimmer of fire, tattered and broken, scarred by spirit claws.
Benders need their element.
Zuko swallowed hard, thinking of the strength he always felt around open flame. Of the sea barges for imprisoned earthbenders, and the dry cells Uncle had told him about for captured waterbenders.
I'm going to be sick.
No,
He was not going to throw up in front of Katara. He wasn't going to give the little idiot the satisfaction.
Just breathe, Zuko told himself firmly.
One thing at a time. You can't change what happened, but you can fix this. Here, now, you can give Shirong a chance.
He leaned into the flames, adding their strength to injured strands, one gentle stroke at a time. Over here to nurture, and over there to draw jagged edges together and splint, and there?
Huh, that's interesting.
Some of those new, faint threads of chi weren't seeking stone. They reached up and out instead, almost as if... Deep in the flame, Zuko smiled.
It's night. Why don't you come over here?
Wisps touched flame, and he felt Shirong start. Zuko made one more slow pass and nodded, releasing fire and blinking his way back into the world.
Don't use the gloves unless you have to, he told the startled agent, pressing the lamp into his hands. But move a few pebbles once in a while. What the Haima Jiao did to your chi, it's kind of like you broke your leg. We've got it set straight and it's healing. You don't want to put a lot of weight on it, but if you don't put a little on it, even resting the bone won't get strong the way it should. So just be careful.
He glanced carefully over his shoulder to see Katara watching him. Scowling, no surprise there. But behind the scowl?
She saw something she didn't expect, Zuko realized.
What? She's a healer.
Though he didn't really care. Just as long as she was watching him and not Jinhai, who'd been looking at the little lamp with open longing.
We're going to have to do something about that. We can't stay down here too long. Uncle and I can take it, but Jinhai could panic. And if he does that while Katara's here, not good.
Anywhere but Bossing Se, with anyone but Katara, he wouldn't have worried about it. But he'd tracked the Avatar's little band for months. Outside of Toph, they couldn't keep a secret to save their lives. No way was he going to put Jinhai's life in their hands.
Toph? Oh no. Where are the others? Zuko asked abruptly, looking at Katara.
Like you care. She shot a glance at Iroh. You said you'd keep him away from me.
It is a fair question. Iroh said mildly. You do not wish to be bait to lure the Avatar, which is wise, but Azula will not hesitate to use your brother or young Toph if she can. Are they safe?
Do you think I'd stay here if they weren't?
Katara challenged him.
Yes, because you're an idiot.
Zuko clenched his teeth and kept quiet while Iroh made soothing conversation. What your opponent didn't say could be the most important thing of all.
She didn't say they were safe. She doesn't know.
The tricky part was, did she not know because the Avatar's little group had been their usual feckless selves and scattered to the four winds when they thought they were safe? Or had she thought they were somewhere they'd be okay, only now she was actually putting together what it meant that Azula was in the city?
Damn it, I need to know.
Zuko sat on his temper and made himself think. No, he didn't need to know. Uncle needed to know. And Uncle was currently talking the Water Tribe girl into picking out one of the many futons Uncle's Pai Show playing friends had stocked this little underground house with. If anyone could get it out of her, Iroh would. Finding his own corner. Away from everyone else. No way did he want a repeat of that mess with Huojin. Zuko curled up and closed his eyes and tried not to panic. Azula's in the city with Mai and Ty Lee and Long Feng ready to eat out of her hand. And Amaya was still in her clinic, counting on Dai Li calculations of her usefulness to keep her away from Azula's eye. Which is going to last as long as it takes for Long Feng to figure out Azula owns him, Zuko thought bleakly. Then he'll be grabbing for anyone else he can feed her to keep her away from his throat.
which might take, another 2 days, depending on how cranky his sister was feeling. Enough time for Iroh to convince Amaya to do the smart thing and hide, he hoped. It's her life. It's her right to risk it for what she cares about. Which didn't stop Zuko from wanting to knock Master Amaya out and carry her down here like a sack of potato chokes. He bet almost anything Uncle was tempted. And maybe somebody from the Water Tribe would have done that. Zuko didn't know. But they couldn't do that to her. Step between her and her loyalty? No. No way. He'd done what he could. Saved what? Who he could. Now Azula would do whatever she was planning, and they had to be ready. Meaning they had to have clear heads. Which meant sleep. Oh, joy. I haven't had nightmares for at least a few days, Zuko thought with bleak humor. Guess I'm overdue. He needed sleep. He knew that. As surely as he knew the night was going to be one long parade of horrors. Survive, Zuko told himself flatly. You don't have to like it. You just have to do it. Determined, he tried to think of nothing at all. I wonder if Mai pulled it off. She had to give the Dai Li points for skill, Mai thought, curled, feverish, in bed under as many blankets as she could pile on. Stone slid aside from her wall almost soundlessly, opening just enough of a door for Mien and Agent Quan to enter. You look awful. Nothing but honesty in the young man's face, plus a little guilt. I'll live, Mai said harshly. Will you? Quan asked levelly. Stomach flu. For your sake, I hope the Fire Princess believes that, Quan said plainly. Will you? She picked up a ceramic cup of water from the stool beside her bed in a trembling hand, managed a sip, and set it back down. I'm still alive, and I'm not a firebender. Mai leaned back against the pillows, shivering. I have a chance. You could die. Mien looked almost as pale as she was. You could die just from reclaiming my loyalty. Mai let her eyes slip closed for a moment. Yes. Then why? Because my honor demanded it. She looked at Mien directly. And my prince asked me to save a child's life. The young earthbender had to look down. He doesn't ask for much, Mai mused. Zuko never has. Like his mother. You would have liked Lady Ursa. I did. That's why he was nice. Do you know how hard it is to find a nice firebending boy? And he was never as good as Azula. Never good enough for the Fire Lord. But he could show you the best ways to sneak into the kitchen. And he never laughed when my knives went all over the place. And they did when I was starting out. A lot. She shivered. I have a little brother, Tom Tom. He's a brat, but my parents love him. The Earth Kingdom rebels and the Avatar kidnapped him. And Azula made me choose. She's horrible, Mien breathed. She's the Fire Princess, Mai said flatly. Fire Lord Ozai's chosen heir. No loyal citizen of the Fire Nation can disobey her commands. She took a breath. Except Zuko and General Iroh. Another breath. So I had no choice. We weren't even aware it was possible for one of the Fire Nation to survive broken loyalties, Quan said thoughtfully. That's interesting. Mai looked at him, and then the young man Quan was carefully not looking at, and felt something twist behind her carefully built wall of indifference. How did it happen?
I know how I got into this mess. How did you?
Mean swallowed. Silent.
I'm dying, Mean.
Mai made herself face it, head on. She'd avoided the truth of Azula for years. The least she could do was accept this one.
If I make it to dawn, if Agni shines on me and I'm not dead yet, I might live. But the fire inside me is bleeding, and I'm so cold.
She swallowed tears.
And I can't even have Ty Lee in here, because she'd guess. She'd try to do something, and Azula would take her out too. I'm cold. I'm alone. I don't want to die alone.
We'll have a fire built up, Quan said neutrally. It wouldn't do for a guest of the Earth King to be uncomfortable, especially since her leader is about to be called on an unexpected official visit.
Long Feng is making his move.
Mai nodded, accepting the gift of information. Or make that the offered trade. From the slight edge to his glance.
Zuko's telling the truth, she said in return. Whatever your Grand Secretariat has planned, Azula's going to be 3 steps ahead of him. She's brilliant, and she's one of Sozin's line. Ba Sing Se will fall. She'll make it happen.
We are loyal to Long Feng, Quan stated. I must bring her to him.
Then let General Iroh's plan happen,
Mai answered.
I don't know if it will save the city, but it'll save something.
Her lips quirked in a bitter smile.
Zuko's still alive. Up against Azula, that's not easy.
Isn't that why you're telling us this? Mean said bitterly. Trying to save your boyfriend?
Ex-boyfriend. Mai said flatly. When I was 9, Azula put an apple on my head and hit it with a fire blast. Zuko knocked me into a pond to try to put it out.
She shrugged, shifting layers of blankets.
Who would you rather trust with the city?
An interesting argument, Quan noted. Trainee Mean will remain with you. If there's anything else that can help.
He paused in the opening of stone.
As I understand it, Professor Tingcho Wen comes from an impeccable line of Ba Sing Se earthbenders. His wife, Mei Xiang, was a refugee about 18 years ago. With valid documents, of course.
He didn't even glance towards Mean.
Though it seems the family has been trying to conceal the fact that their youngest, Jinhai, appears to have been gifted as a waterbender. Perfectly understandable, of course. It's the sort of thing that would lead to pressure on the university to cost the professor his tenure, even his position. No noble would want their child instructed by someone who had connections to the foggy swamp.
Smiling slightly, Quan stepped into the shadows, raising stone behind him.
For the first time in a long time, Mai found her jaw tempted to drop.
A waterbender?
A hot water, Mean mumbled, embarrassed. But I guess you know that trick.
I've never even heard of it.
Mai blinked, surprised. Amazing. She hadn't felt that in years.
I want to feel that again. I want to live.
Mai had to smile slightly. So you're in this because of your little brother, too. That's kind of funny. Another tremor took her. She clenched her teeth against it. Mean got an awkward arm around her, holding the cup when her own hands shook too badly.
Would a healer help? I might be able to sneak Amaya in.
Amaya? That's a water tribe name.
A waterbender?
Mai shook her head.
I need fire, not something to put it out.
She glanced down to his fingers, still wrapped around hers.
Your hands are warm.
Mean almost pulled away, braced himself, and looked at her again.
My mother's the enemy, he managed.
How can I live with that?
She's lied to me all my life, and now my little brother...
He shook his head.
What could I do?
Sometimes there aren't any good choices,
Mai said quietly. Looked back at him, studying pain-filled green eyes.
Talk to me. Tylee's always talking.
It let me forget what we were doing sometimes.
I've been with the princess chasing the Avatar for the past few months. What have you been doing?
Trying not to strangle my little brother?
Mean offered. Oh, come on, that's a given.
Mai smirked just a little.
Little brothers are annoying. It's their job.
She lifted a black brow.
What do you do? You're in the Dai Li. You must be a good bender.
Not as good as I want to be, Mean admitted. Trained agents? Did you see how smooth that wall opened? Have you ever seen anything like that?
The Avatar's earthbender.
Mai nodded.
She's the only one I've seen that good.
She let herself have another slight smile.
Even better than the Terra team.
That's what I want, Mean said, intense. To be that good. To know what I'm doing is the right thing for our people.
He swallowed dryly.
And then, last month, everything fell apart.
Mai listened, letting the words beat back the cold. And hope.
In his nightmares, Zuko walked on water. Sometimes it was ice, solid as a glacier or crackling underfoot. Sometimes it just was, water rejecting his very footfall, refusing to even have the mercy of drowning him for Sozin's deeds. This night, like so many nights, the ocean was awash in bodies. Armor was cold and slick under his bare feet, not yielding itself, but dipping into water in a way that told of the flood-bloated flesh within. He could smell the corruption, taste the horror in the air, rank and fetid, oddly out of place in air so crisp and still. The ocean rose and fell in a slow wave, a feaster sated at last.
There's nothing I can do.
Zuko walked past the staring, blind eyes of the dead, past rolling, unnaturally living eyes in moon-pale dead faces, past those with no eyes or ears or face, the scavengers of sea and air already feeding.
Nothing I can do. Too late, couldn't stop it, couldn't help, failure, always the failure.
And his next step was on the sodden robe of a woman, drowned with her child in her arms.
Mud, debris, not the North Pole.
The clear blue sky of autumn mocked him, sun beating down like a hammer, boiling dead and living alike in the steam of a Fire Nation afternoon. The stench caught him by the throat, strangling him, seeping into clothes and hair and skin, until he thought he'd never be rid of it. Only the very tiniest of lizard birds, the mosquito hawks, kept insect hordes at bay. Blue and red-brown and beetle-green feathers flashing like fireworks in the wind. In the midst of the rubble near the bodies, something moved.
No, no, I don't want to see this again, please.
A tattered lion dog, faithful to the last, matted with mud, starving, trying to lift its head. He crooned to it that it was okay, he'd been a good boy.
No!
Zuko woke in the green dimness, breath ragged, covered his face with his hands and let the tears soak his sleeves.
Nara. Spirits, Nara again.
The Fire Lord was no idiot. Why leave a good general sitting around rusting, even if Iroh had been training a crown prince?
Logistics, planning, coordination, adaptability. They weren't just good on the battlefield. The Fire Nation needed them at home, desperately, from late summer throughout autumn. The season of air, of storms, of the spirit winds, the hurricanes. Nada had been almost 5 years ago now. One of the worst storms to hit the Fire Nation in decades. Thousands of homes destroyed, ships demolished or lifted by wind and wave miles inland. Hundreds dead, despite their lord's best precautions. And they tried so hard. "We're on an upcycle," Uncle says. "For the next 20 years, it's just going to get worse." He believed Iroh, completely. Nothing else could explain chasing the Avatar into a hurricane in the middle of the spirit-damned winter. It was just weeks after solstice. There aren't supposed to be storms like that, not when the sun is just starting to come back. So he doubted his uncle and his ship and crew and almost paid the ultimate price, like so many of Nada had paid. It was Nada that had made him realize he had to stop Azula. He'd been with Uncle and their contingent of guards, seeing the death and devastation, and the order brought out of chaos, as General Iroh and the Home Guard brought in food, clean water, and steel-edged hope, seeing the difference in deaths between the larger port of Nada, where the land had actually been hit harder, and Zheng Hui, up a nearby river, whose lord was weak and whose far fewer people had died by the scores. "You don't understand us," Zuko thought wearily, not looking towards where the waterbender slept. "How could you? Life at the poles is hard, but it doesn't change. You know when the ice will freeze, when the winter storms will howl, when you need to hunt, when you need to prepare." The Fire Nation had to prepare every summer for storms that might not hit at all, that might not hit for years, or might hit four or more in a month, devastating the land and fleets alike. There had to be a plan, there had to be supplies laid in, and forts on higher ground and a record of who could move to safety on their own, and where to look for those who'd need help. And there had to be a strong, compassionate lord and a loyal people, because the most warning anyone ever had was 2 days in advance, and that only if a fleet with a sharp-eyed captain sent a messenger hawk in time. Zuko loved the wind, a clear, brisk breeze on the ocean, carrying the scent of salt and green of distant lands. There was nothing like it. But the monsters of wind and storm and wave that roared off the Western Ocean in autumn? No, he knew them too well. "You command the wind, Avatar Aang. You command the storm itself, if you wish." Zuko shook his head. "Don't you know why we hated your people?" "Enough, Koala Wool Gathering. Time to put one of his bad habits to use and see if he could fall asleep meditating. Breathe in and hold and out." Momo curled next to her heart. Katara waited in the darkness for strained breathing to even out, and shivered. "I thought it was Sokka having a nightmare about Mom." The same kind of strangled gasp that in waking life would have been a scream. The same hitch of breath as terror shot its victim from sleep to bolt awake, and the mind scrambled to catch up. The same stifled sounds and sense of water moving as her brother hiding tears. Zuko wasn't like her brother at all. But he wasn't acting like Zuko either. Not like the enemy she knew. Checking somebody with his healing who wasn't Iroh or bleeding to death? He'd even looked almost nice doing it. Must be the hair. Makes him look harmless. Yeah, right. Like anybody who could punch like that could ever be harmless. No challenge, no stepping out into the open so she could see him, no chance for her to threaten him back. Zuko might talk a lot about honor, but the worst Water Tribe warrior she'd ever met had more. Even Hone and his warriors, who Chief Arnuk sent on that sneaky, dishonest mission Sokka had told her about, dressing up as Fire Nation warriors, even they would have had the decency to challenge Zhao before they killed him. They must have been very brave. None of them had come back. Zuko? Rescue anybody? What, walk up to a stronghold Zhao was in and say, "For my honor, turn over the Avatar"? I don't think so. So Xirong was lying to her. That made sense. He was Dai Li. But given the professor was worried about Dai Li, but seemed to trust this one, something about this whole situation seemed wrong. Why won't anyone listen to me? It could just be Bossing Se, but it didn't feel like the Judy's misdirection or the Earth King's bewildered ignorance or even the general's hunger to strike back at the Fire Nation. This? It was like these people didn't think the Fire Nation was the enemy. No, Katara thought. The professor said Fire Nation soldiers were monsters, but not the whole nation. Which didn't make sense. The warriors were the nation. Every Water Tribe man fought. But a lot of Earth Kingdom men didn't seem like warriors at all. They didn't carry swords or spears. They didn't dress like they were ready to fight. Not in fancy clothes like that. And they gave Sokka's weapons weird looks walking around town. Clothes, too, but especially weapons. It just didn't make sense. How could Iroh say Zuko wasn't evil? That was like saying Sokka could be evil, when everyone knew he was Hakoda's son. Good people had good children, and evil people... Well, there weren't any left in her tribe, but she knew what you did with those. Wait until you got them alone, then push them off the ice when no one was looking. Okay, so ice was probably a little harder to come by in the Fire Nation, given Aang had once said there were only a few places it ever snowed, but there had to be something just as good. Though, if there wasn't, that would explain a lot. Oh, she just wanted to sneak over there, lock the jerk up in ice, and demand some straight answers out of him. Except that even locked in ice, Zuko was a pretty scary firebender. Master Paku had told her that freezing a firebender in a wave of ice like that would, as he'd smirked, stop them cold. She'd frozen Zuko, smirked at him, heart still racing, glad that it was finally over and Aang was safe. Then the sun had risen, and the next thing she remembered was waking up to an aching head and Aang gone. Some finishing move. She might as well have been throwing snowballs. Which was why she was not going to freeze him now, no matter how much she wanted to. All she had was her water skin, and it obviously took more than that to take Zuko down. Besides, attack him the way he deserved to be attacked, and he'd probably pull some poor little me lie on the Wens, as if he were innocent. Aang's the one who's innocent. She'd never had a problem getting people to believe that before. Well, except for Qin Village, but they'd have this crazy idea that Qin the Conqueror was a good guy. It's like I'm stuck behind ice. I pound and pound and they see me, but they're not listening. Katara's breath caught. Meishang. She'd said something about Azula using inner fire, whatever that was, on people who were vulnerable. And something about Zuko maybe doing that to Xirong. Maybe it's not ice I'm pounding on. Moving quietly, she uncapped her water skin, wrapping a soft glow around her fingers. Steel gleamed in faint green light. Amaya doesn't heal people without permission.
Mei Xiang's voice, soft and quiet, but edged with the same steel as the dagger she was stropping on a bit of cloth, kneeling between Katara and her children.
"I thought you might be tempted to try something,"
the professor's wife went on.
"For both our sakes, don't."
"I just want to help." Katara kept it to an urgent whisper, uneasily aware of the firebender in the corner and Iroh napping with the other adults near the cave entrance. "I don't know what Zuko did to you, but..."
"All he has done is be a young man, working as a healer and bossing Sei,"
Mei Xiang said simply.
"Just one more refugee among thousands. He's impulsive, yes, rude sometimes, and he certainly has a temper, but I've seen worse. Even my mien has been more thoughtless sometimes."
Katara snorted. "Somehow, I don't think your son ever burned down a village."
"No," Mei Xiang said calmly, "but I would, to protect the people I love."
Another slow strop of cloth on steel. Mei Xiang didn't even watch her fingers move, green gaze fixed on Katara.
"Please stay away from my children."
Mouth dry, Katara bent her water back into its skin and dove back into her futon. The last time she'd seen someone look at her like that. "Mom told me to leave the tent when she knew what that firebender was gonna do." Mei Xiang was putting herself between Katara and her children, against the Avatar's waterbending master, with only a knife. "But I'm not like him. I'm not." Yet that look, frightened and determined and knowing there might be no way out. "I'm not like him. I'm not like Zuko." Angry enough to shatter icebergs, Katara cried herself to sleep. Xirong wasn't sure how long he'd been drowsing before footsteps and murmured voices trembled the earth. He opened his eyes to see the general wrap Amaya in a fierce hug while the Wens traded amused glances and held hands.
"You're all right,"
he said, barely loud enough to be heard, all too aware of the children tumbled together in their futons. And one young man nodded on himself in the most defensible corner he could find.
"We were worried."
"Agent Bone warned me it was time to go."
Amaya beckoned him over, so they could move around a corner in stone and Tinkja could raise a wall to keep the exhausted youngsters from waking.
"He couldn't say directly, but I think Mien is safe for now. The Wen family is under suspicion for concealing a waterbender, which is reason for interrogation but not arrest."
Amaya gave Tinkja a sober look.
"From what Bone didn't say, Quan would prefer it if you never showed up for that interrogation." "So it's exile, then,"
Tinkja said heavily. "Spirits." He caught Mei Xiang's worried look and gave her a tired smile.
"He's alive. Exile means nothing besides that." "Exile is when you leave everyone you care about behind, love,"
Mei Xiang said firmly.
"I did that once. This, you're here, my children are here, or as safe as they can be. This isn't exile."
She smiled back, proud and sad.
"You did what you had to for our city and for the Avatar. Now we have to look after our clan."
Amaya stepped aside with Iroh to give the pair a breath more privacy. Looked Xirong up and down with a critical eye.
"Are you well?"
"Better,"
Xirong said plainly, thinking of fiery colors and the odd shock of holding a lit lamp.
"But I think I need you to be a bit more specific about what exactly your apprentice overdid."
He cast a glance at Mei Xiang.
"And why that makes certain people think the Dai Li are vulnerable to the Fire Princess."
"Oh," it was Iroh who nodded, surprising Xirong.
"That, I fear, is something we all must discuss. It may change our plans for escape.
And if it does not, it changes the urgency of those plans. Even, perhaps, beyond what is necessary to deal with Azula. Shirong eyed the retired general.
We're fugitives. Azula, who you say is a master firebender and tactician, is in the palace, ready to conspire with Long Feng.
Which was reassuring, only in that Long Feng knew how important Kuei's life was to Ba Sing Se. His king should be safe. For now.
And any day the Avatar might fly right back into a trap. Oma and Shu, how can things get any worse?
Iroh regarded him for a moment, eyes half closed, as he seemed to listen. And then sighed, nodding.
Three reasons, two of which are tightly intertwined, but the first, yes, the Dai Li are vulnerable to Azula, and they will have no warning before their own hearts betray them.
Shirong shook his head, unwilling to believe that, and more than unwilling to look at why he felt Iroh was right.
That makes no sense. We're loyal to the city.
To death and beyond, Iroh said gravely. For Ba Sing Se, you fight the spirit world itself, and that requires courage beyond that of even a skilled bender. It requires a spirit that fights to live, to prevail, to conquer any enemy set against it.
He paused deliberately.
A soul touched by fire.
Shirong stiffened.
We're Earth Kingdom.
You are, Iroh agreed. Though perhaps your family, generations ago. Well, every spirit has a touch of all four elements. Even the strongest firebender has water within him, binding him to family and home. The Dai Li are earthbenders, but your training and battles strengthen the fire within you as well. And that fire, that loyalty, is vulnerable to the pull of greater fires, like Azula's.
Because she's the blood of Sozin.
Shirong folded his arms, unconvinced.
I don't see any Dai Li following you around, General.
An old tea maker? That would be most inconvenient.
Iroh smiled and straightened, green eyes no longer full of bemused affection, but sharp as diamond blade. Shirong staggered, breath driven from his lungs in a gasp of fear and fury. This is what faced the Haima Jiao, the general who held us under siege for 600 days. This is the Dragon of the West. In his sense of spirits, Iroh burned. Power crushed like a fiery vice, threatening to burn him to ashes. His only hope to survive was to join his small flame to that inferno, to give himself to it and let the firestorm carry him. No! A raft in a hurricane, a grasping hand gripping before he could slip into the abyss. Something let his spirit brace against it, lending its strength to his own. Not as fierce and strong as the inferno pressing on him, no, but it was enough. No, Shirong dared to meet Iroh's gaze, voice shaking. You can't have me.
And I will not,
General Iroh said gently. The sense of fire retreated, until he only seemed a harmless bender again.
Do not fear, Agent Shirong. I would never tamper with the loyalty of one who has already chosen his lord.
He sighed, grim.
But Azula is not so honorable.
Most Dai Li have never been so deeply wounded by the spirits, Amaya stated as Shirong tried to catch his breath. I doubt she could influence them so easily.
Not directly, no, Iroh nodded. But neither will they sense her fire so clearly or be so quick to fight against it. They will simply believe they are impressed by her skills, her tactics, and her ruthlessness. They will want to follow her. Long Feng will not lose them in one heartbeat of chosen loyalties. They will simply slip through his fingers.
Then stop her.
Tincha looked almost as rattled as Shirong felt.
But he stood firm as the university itself. If she can turn the Dai Li, surely you can as well.
I cannot.
Iroh shook his head.
Azula will act as an ally of Long Feng, which she is, so long as he serves her purposes. I am his enemy, spirit to spirit that cannot be feigned.
He sighed.
Even if I could, I have a more important responsibility. Prince Zuko must escape Ba Sing Se.
We all need to do that, Shirong pointed out dryly. Leave Ba Sing Se. Spirits, I never thought I would.
But we are not all Yao Ren.
Iroh indulged in a wry smile at their looks of confusion.
You are not the only one who is interested in old history, Professor. I have contacts with records which are very old indeed.
He regarded Amaya.
When Zuko drowned, he was told the spirits were in disagreement over what should happen to the Fire Nation and to the world. That the Avatar was human as well as spirit, and none knew what he might do. But,
he raised a determined finger,
the moon also said my nephew's efforts to restore balance deserved her answer.
The moon gave him waterbending? Shirong said very carefully. A Fire Nation prince?
An event I found as surprising as you,
Iroh said dryly.
Imagine my further surprise when I learned only hours ago. This may not be the first time a firebender has been so gifted.
You could have felt a pin drop.
Long ago, so long it has been lost to all our nations, the Avatar may not have been alone in keeping balance in the world,
Iroh went on.
The records are but fragments. Yet, it seems there were others to aid him and give him counsel. Only the Avatar could bend all four elements, true. But what remains about the Yao Ren suggests they could bend too. And so they, too, would know the struggle of learning to master more than one element. The difficulty, the heartbreak of trying to belong to more than one nation.
He let out a slow breath.
But while the Avatar is born, it seems a Yao Ren could only be made. And that, only at great risk. Those I asked did not have a record of what that risk was. But Zuko died, if only for moments. I do not doubt, had he not succeeded in the tasks the spirits set him, my nephew would not have returned to me.
And if you can bend one element, why risk your life for two? Mei Xiang nodded. There could never have been many of them. And the fewer people who know a technique, the more easily it can be lost, Tinkcha said gravely. At the risk of sounding horribly disrespectful to a certain great spirit, your nephew is the last person I'd pick to counsel the Avatar.
Shirong, Amaya said, half-scolding.
You know Li better than that.
Please, allow me, Iroh said mildly. For you well know, on the surface, it would seem he is right.
On the surface? Shirong thought in disbelief. Reconsidered, taking into account it precisely who he was speaking to. Not just Li's fond uncle, but the general who had harried the Earth Kingdom army from one end of the continent to another.
I'm not going to like this, am I? I am not well pleased myself,
Iroh said gravely.
But having pursued the Avatar at my nephew's side, I have seen things the Airbender lacks, whose absence may yet lead to a very short life. Would have led so, save for the Water Tribe children and young Toph.
He let out a breath on a sigh, counting off items on his fingers.
Aang is reckless. While I fully understand the use of excessive force against an enemy, Aang's bending has often caused as much damage to his surroundings, and far more to innocent bystanders, as my nephew.
And that before the Avatar State was unleashed.
When Zuko was firebending? Mei Shang's brows climbed.
Even so, Iroh said dryly, lifted a second finger. Aang is naive. He has little grasp of the differences in customs between nations, and appears to believe that any custom he disagrees with may be flaunted without thought or fear of reprisal. Breaking a prisoner's parole, he gave my nephew, teaching Katara combative waterbending in secret at the North Pole, when women were not permitted to learn. And here, in Ba Sing Se, invading the very palace to see the Earth King. Iroh shook his head. I do not say he did not have reason to do so. The Avatar had no reason to know my nephew was honorable. Katara needed to be taught, and Kuei needed, badly, to know the truth of his city. But every time he has acted, Aang has been amazed that there were consequences. Amaya gave Iroh a considering look.
How do you know what the Avatar did at the North Pole?
Iroh's grin was pure mischief. That I cannot tell you. Yet. There are ways. I hope to tell you of them in time.
Ice cubes? Amaya muttered. Sleeping robe. Don't think I won't.
I never doubted it, Iroh said virtuously, and raised a third finger. Aang is irresponsible. From what Amaya has told me, he has already tried firebending, before he was ready to learn. And whatever the result, he has now decided he will never firebend. Iroh looked grim. He is the Avatar. He is a firebender, whether he wishes to be or not. And if he does not master his inner fire, he will not master himself. The general swept them all with a sober gaze. We have all seen our world without an avatar. Do we wish to see our world with an avatar's power unleashed by one who will not think? Shirong said quietly, daring to look that most dangerous man in the eye.
He's a 12-year-old boy.
So he is, Iroh nodded. Do not think I do not feel compassion. No child should be forced to bear the fate of the world. And I have seen many children bereft by war. I do not doubt some of what drives his recklessness is the need to forget, the need to do something, anything, rather than live in a world which has destroyed all he knew and loved. Iroh looked down, saddened. I grieve that his people are no more. I understand why he wishes to run from his duty, but the spirits will not allow it. No matter how much harm that does Aang or any of us. Amaya stirred at his side.
You do believe the spirits have been using Zuko to chase Aang?
Yes. Iroh looked away, as if into memory. Were it not for my nephew's determination to track any lead, no matter how slim, no Fire Nation ship would have been close enough to spot the Avatar's awakening. Aang would still be with the Southern Water Tribe, a child among other children, and that would not suit the spirit's purposes.
You have a nasty, suspicious mind, Shirong stated, smiling wryly. And thank the spirits for that.
Lee, Zuko, would never have lasted this long without guile on his side. An unfortunate effect of command. Iroh chuckled. Or at least, of surviving it. He sobered. But I think you are right. It is not wise for the spirits to have chosen my nephew for such a task. Not because he would not be capable of it, if he survived disobeying the Fire Lord. But because Aang's other allies, save Toph, hate us, as Katara hates us. And how can anyone expect a young boy to listen to the hard reality of my nephew's good sense when those who have taken him in as family speak against such advice simply because it is Zuko's?
Ouch, Shirong winced. Not to mention that small detail of your nephew having chased him across the world. Fire, clanking armor, life or death insults.
My nephew took very good care of his armor, Iroh said practically. It never clanked. Mei Shang smiled. Tinkja raised a brow at her.
Just picturing our Li in armor, dear. He doesn't have quite enough hair yet for a respectable topknot. Oh.
She looked at Iroh, eyes worried.
I hadn't really thought about that before.
Hair grows back, Iroh smiled ruefully. My nephew needed my support more than I needed my pride. Gentle words, but the steel behind them hardened Shirong's intuition into conviction.
You're not about to let the spirits have their way, are you?
If I had let certain spirits act as they willed, neither Zuko nor I would be here, Iroh observed. Shirong looked at him in askance.
You're getting Zuko out, so the spirit's plan won't work. So he won't be here when the Avatar comes looking for Katara and won't get bullied into being his Yaoren counselor.
That is my intent, yes.
But to go against the spirits,
Tinkja began. My nephew is human. Iroh's fists clenched. He made himself breathe. My nephew has lost everything he hoped to gain. Again. Even if his loyalty were not at stake, even if he chose to help the Avatar freely, what help would he be to Aang when the Avatar loathes the very thought of firebending, when Katara, whom Aang trusts, calls us monsters? Iroh shook his head. The Avatar is the bridge between our world and the spirits, because spirits do not understand humans well. I do not intend to go against the spirits. I simply believe they have miscalculated. For if there is one thing I have learned, raising my son and nephew, it is that you cannot force a boy to listen. He must decide he needs help and seek you out. He sighed. And so, yes, I will remove Zuko from this city before the Avatar can return. My contacts claim he went to the Western Air Temple to learn certain things. That should take some time. 3, perhaps 4 more days at least. He regarded Shirong. We will get Zuko out, and we will get you out as well.
Me?
Shirong said, startled, as Amaya clapped a hand to her forehead with a muffled groan of disbelief.
What? How? What did Zuko do? I missed it, Amaya admitted. The obvious signs weren't there, so I thought it wasn't as serious. The technique I mentioned, it usually has 3 components. Body, mind, and spirit. You didn't need the first 2. But the Haimajiao was drowning your spirit. He must have poured flames in to fight it.
So I believe, Iroh said gently, and lit a flame in one cupped hand.
He can't be serious, Shirong thought. Stunned. He can't mean.
Iroh's smile was patient and touched with rueful humor. He waited.
He could wait there all night, Shirong swallowed dryly and held out a nerveless hand.
Do not fear, Iroh said, still gentle. Controlling fire is difficult. Holding it, if one does not move too hastily, is easy. Breathe, and remember you are part of each other. Like holding a baby cat owl. Warm and fragile, a heartbeat he could feel through his fingertips, warming his very bones. It pulled on his energies, light as moving grains of sand, flickering with his breath.
I think I want to sit down now. Do you know what this means?
Tinkja asked in amazement, as Iroh snuffed that unsettling flame.
That I've become the enemy?
Shirong snapped, voice ragged, mourning the absence of fire like he would an old friend.
Spirits? It means we have hope,
Tinkja said, not rising to the bait.
It means my children, my family. We won't be alone.
No, we won't. Mei Xiang agreed. Our people will come. Anyone who's never quite fit into Ba Sing Se, and probably quite a few who thought they did, before. Iroh raised his eyebrows, curious. Mei Xiang's smile was touched with bittersweet amusement. You control your inner fire, Prince Iroh, so you go unnoticed. Prince Zuko doesn't. Stunned realization swept over Iroh's face, and he closed his eyes in utter disbelief.
Oh, Agni, I did not even think of it.
Think of what? Sharong glanced at Amaya, who seemed just as clueless.
He was 13 when we left.
Iroh was groaning, Sharong decided.
Barely old enough. And he struggled so hard with the basics, I did not think to work on such advanced techniques. And there was no need. Those assigned to our ship were always in a clear chain of command. There were no civilians.
Mei Xiang? Tingcha asked, wary as Sharong felt. She smiled ruefully. The generals just realized he's dropped a lodestone in a sand pit laced with iron filings. Laced with. Sharong felt his jaw drop as the implications finally hit home. Mei Xiang, these two, they're not isolated colonial survivors, which means.
How many Fire Nation refugees are there in Ba Sing Se?
Counting children born here, over 3,000. Amaya looked just as stunned. And I've managed to bring Zuko near most of them.
Thousands.
A drop in the bucket compared to the millions within the outer wall. Even so?
This had better be a really good plan,
Sharong said levelly.
I hope it is.
Iroh straightened, shaking off shock.
For I will need to rely on all of you, and whoever you can trust, to begin carrying it out. It will only work if Aang is not here, and to ensure that, Zuko and I must see that Katara gets to safety. Azula will be searching for her, and none of you would survive Azula should fate turn against us.
He stepped aside and reached into a satchel Amaya had brought to draw out a thick sheaf of notes.
Come, and tell me what you think we can do.